So our theme for this Easter weekend is Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And today we're going to think about how the Good Shepherd laid down his life on Sunday, how he takes it up again. And this idea of Jesus as the Good Shepherd has an Old Testament background. So that's where we're going to start reading this morning. I'm going to read from Ezekiel chapter 34, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 24. So Ezekiel chapter 34, and it's on page 1235 in the Church Bible, 1235. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so has been plundered and become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock but cared for themselves rather than for my flock, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he's with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. They will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you've trampled and drink what you've muddied with your feet? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you've driven them away, I will save my flock and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." So now we turn to the New Testament. We turn to John chapter 10, which is on page 1527, page 1527. And we see how Jesus picks up on this idea. So John chapter 10. "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." This is God's word.
Thanks for reading for us, Andrew. Please keep your finger in John and flick back to Ezekiel. And we're going to pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Now, we thank you for preserving it down through the centuries so that we can read it this morning and that we can benefit from it. Please help us to understand who Jesus is from what we've read this morning. And may we respond appropriately. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What would you give up for someone you love? Coffee? A weekend? Your car? Your house? All of the above and more? We see regular examples in the news, don't we, of the sacrifices that people are willing to make for this or that person, even for this or that country. For the last 50 days, we've seen the sacrifices the people of Ukraine are having to make to try to keep their country whole, try to keep their country free. Many people lay down their lives for others. But there's one person in history who did it and is different from everyone else. One person who did not just die so that others might live a little bit longer. No, this person died so that those who listen to his voice will live forever. I'm talking, of course, about Jesus. It's obvious, isn't it? But in the passage before us today, in John 10, he contrasts himself with those who care nothing for the people under their care. And he identifies himself with God, who cares so much for the people that he created that he would give up, what, coffee, a weekend? No, he would give up his own son to save them. So we're going to look first at this passage in Ezekiel to understand the huge difference, the massive gap between the bad shepherds described there and God the shepherd. And then we're going to look at John 10, where Jesus claims to be the good shepherd. So if you've got Ezekiel there, let's have a brief look at the bad shepherds. This chapter is probably one of my favourite chapters in the Bible. But let's face it, those verses I've listed, 1 to 10 and 17 to 19, would have to be some of the saddest verses in the Bible. God tells Ezekiel to prophesy against who? The rulers of his people, Israel. Now, normally prophets prophesy against, you know, the people out there, but then there are times where God says, no, you need to prophesy against my people. And specifically here, it's the leaders of my people. Those people whom God redeemed out of slavery. You know what happened? They were redeemed out of slavery. They were brought out of Egypt and they were brought into their own land. They were given the law to show them how to live as the people of God. They were to be his witnesses to the love of their God, their creator God, their redeemer God. They were to be witnesses to the nations around them. But instead of caring for the people under them, the leaders, the kings and priests, and that's who's in view here. It's not just the priesthood, it's the king as well. The king failed over and over again. But those leaders, the kings and priests, exploited the people instead of caring for them. But these verses tell us that the sheep, God's people, and the shepherds, their leaders, these verses tell us all about them. And it's with that imagery of sheep and shepherd that God describes how, just how, in intimate detail, how these leaders have exploited God's people. And it's with that imagery that God describes how the leaders have done it. But I think there are two key phrases that summarize what the leaders did that has God so angry. And God is angry here. Make no mistake. But always with God, his anger is controlled. And his anger has a purpose. Well, firstly, verse 2 says, "Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves." And verse 8 builds on that. It says, "My shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock." I don't know if you noticed it as Andrew read, but I want you to notice here in that verse how God refers to the flock. Did you notice it when Andrew read through? This is not a flock that belongs to the shepherds. This is a flock that belongs to God himself. So the leaders are not mistreating their flock. These leaders are mistreating God's flock. And I want to say that's what makes God angry. They were entrusted to care and yet they exploit. To use a bit of a different biblical picture from Zechariah chapter 2, they are mistreating the apple of God's eye, the center of your eyeball. And let's face it, you never get a pleasant reaction from someone you poke in the eye, do you? No. At best, you receive harsh words. At worst, you end up in hospital. Yeah? That's what happens when you poke someone in the eye. So when the leaders that God has appointed to care for his people poke him in the eye, well, a big reaction is expected, isn't it? You've got to expect a reaction. And tragically, the reaction that has to come from God is to curse his leaders. Remember what he said? He said, "Woe to you, shepherds of Israel. May you be cursed." He's going to remove them. But here's the good news. We need the bad news to understand how good the good news is. And there's the bad news, but the good news is that having cursed the shepherds, he's going to take over care of the people himself. God is going to be the shepherd. And so in contrast to what God says about the shepherds of Israel, these verses, 11 to 17, 20 to 24, are some of what I would consider the greatest and most comforting in the Bible. Now, this is partly true because of how sad those other verses are. How, quite frankly, depressing they are. But partly because of what they actually tell us about the heart of God for his people. The first section, verses 11 to 16. Now, they sound pretty familiar, don't they? A passage that's often read at a particular event in someone's life. A passage that is extremely comforting. Psalm 23. Now, don't verses 11 to 16 sound a bit like Psalm 23? I mean, the difference is that in Psalm 23, David is speaking about his shepherd, the Lord. But here, it's the Lord who's speaking about his sheep. And notice how active God is in these verses. Not just these verses, but particularly these verses. So as I read them again, let's just see how much God intends to do for his sheep. Now, this is what the sovereign Lord says. "I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he's with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out of the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel." Here's Psalm 23. "In the ravines and in all the settlements of the land, I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I'll bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice." Do you see how active God is there? God is not some, you know, absent watchmaker. God is present with his people, actively caring for them. I mean, it goes on in the following verses. I just want to read two more that will link us into our reading from John's Gospel, because that's where I want to spend the rest of our time. Look at verses 23 and 24. "I will place over them one shepherd." This is God speaking again. "My servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." But hang on a minute. King David died about 350 years before Ezekiel started his ministry. So how can God be saying David is going to be their shepherd? Well, he can't mean a literal David. He can't mean King David from back then, can he? Well, no, he doesn't. But the clue is in the use of the words, my servant David. He says it twice. Now, what I think God wants us to remember here is what Isaiah talks about. Remember, Isaiah talks about God's servant. And in particular, he talks about the suffering servant, the Messiah, who would come from where? The line of David. It is this servant in David's line who will be their shepherd. And it's this imagery that Jesus' hearers would have thought about when he claims in John 10 to be the good shepherd. And I think there's a sense in which Jesus also reflects God's anger, but not visibly angry. But he uses language, doesn't he, that condemns the thieves and robbers who came before him. He's talking about strangers who will not What does Jesus say? He says this to Pharisees. He's saying, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, these are the Pharisees who were listening when Jesus spoke to the blind man, or the man who was blind. Yeah? Jesus healed that blind man in chapter 9. And he says to the Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. And then he talks about the stranger in verse 5, that the sheep won't follow that stranger. But in speaking to the Pharisees, I think Jesus is suggesting that they may be no better than the leaders in Ezekiel's day. And these guys don't understand what Jesus means. Verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again. He becomes very clear as to what he's claiming in verses 7 to 13. Twice he says he is the gate, he is the entrance. But the entrance for what? Verse 7, the gate of the sheep pen. That the sheep, those sheep who listen to his voice, not the voice of the stranger, he is the gate through which they must enter. What are they entering? Well, they have to be entering God's sheep pen, don't they? In other words, God's family. If you enter through Jesus, you come into God's family. And in verse 9, he says he's the gate through whom you must enter to be saved. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Listen to me, says Jesus, and you will be saved. Don't listen to the thieves and robbers who only want to use the sheep for what they can get out of them. Don't listen to the strangers. Don't listen to the hired hand who you know, cares nothing for the sheep. He runs off at the first sign of danger. Even the pay that he's given isn't enough to keep him around when the wolf comes. No, don't listen to them. Listen to the good shepherd who loves his sheep so much that he will save them by laying down his life for them. But we ought to ask, how did he lay down his life? Well, as David so helpfully explained at the start, today's Good Friday. This is the day when Christians celebrate the fact that Jesus died on a Roman cross. Sorry? Celebrate a death. Well, we don't celebrate the brutality. We don't celebrate the unjust trial. What we celebrate is the fact that Jesus willingly laid down his life to save his people. And we see that willingness in a number of ways. The fact that Jesus did not avoid going to Jerusalem when he knew that his time on earth was coming to a close. We see that willingness when he remains silent during his trials, instead of saying something, saying anything to get himself released. And he could have. I have no doubt Jesus could have said what he needed to say to get released. But he didn't, because there was something bigger to achieve than his own personal safety. We also see that willingness when he stopped Simon from attacking more people when the Pharisees and soldiers came to arrest him. We see that willingness when he says that he could ask the Father for 12 legions of angels to save him, if he only asked. But that would not have brought about the salvation of even one person, let alone all God's people. And we see that willingness later in the words written about the moment Jesus died. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. See, being crucified on the cross did not kill Jesus. He chose the time of his death by giving up his spirit. The good shepherd laid down his life to save those who hear the voice of their shepherd and respond in faith. So, friends, have you heard the voice of the good shepherd? Have you heard these words of Jesus claiming to be that good shepherd? Claiming to be the promised Messiah born in the line of David? Claiming to be God's prince? Now, who is the prince? Well, the prince is the son of the king, yeah? So Jesus, in claiming to be that shepherd, God's prince, is claiming to be God's son. Come to earth to accomplish all that his Father had planned. Have you heard Jesus speak today? I hope you have. And I hope that you have already responded to him in faith, that you've accepted his offer of salvation by turning from sin and trusting in his claim to be the Son of God who saves. So for those of you who've already trusted in Jesus, the thing for you to take home today is the comforting reminder that Jesus is your protector. As the good shepherd, he is the one who protects his people from that thief and robber whose only desire is to exploit the sheep. He is the one who is with you in the valley of the shadow of death. Therefore, we do not need to be afraid. He is the one who leads you to quiet waters that refresh your soul. And he is the one who will come again to take you to be with him, to live in God's house forever. So, brother and sister in Christ, be encouraged this Good Friday that Jesus laid down his life to save you. So for any here or listening online, for whom what I've just said is not the case, if you've not yet listened to the words of Jesus and trusted in him for salvation, it isn't too late. You have now heard the words of Jesus, his claim to be the saviour of God's people through laying down his life. So I want to encourage you to take Jesus at his word, to put your faith in him. Ask him to forgive your sins and trust in his claim to be the Son of God who saves. If you need further explanation or you need to unpack that a bit more, well, speak to a Christian friend or speak to myself or Andrew. If you're watching at home, contact us via the website. But don't put it off. Respond to Jesus today and receive that comfort that I mentioned earlier in belonging to Jesus. Because when you belong to Jesus, you are one of his many and deeply loved sheep who've heard the voice of the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus, your Son, our Saviour, the Good Shepherd. We thank you that in unpacking for us that he would lay down his life for his sheep, that we have that assurance that this was not a random event, that it was not a horrible accident, but that this was your plan that your Son was carrying out for us. We thank you that Jesus laid down his life willingly to save his people. And Father, help us to take that encouragement into our week, out into the street. May we give that encouragement to others in our daily lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.